Ever wonder how free speech really plays out? Like, in the actual legal arena?
Oh, absolutely.
Today we're going deep on a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Ooh, exciting.
And it changed the game for challenging laws that could, infringe on your right to speak your mind.
Before they're even used against you.
Exactly.
I love these pre-enforcement challenges, so much at stake.
It's Susan B. Anthony, Liz B. Dryhouse, 2014, Big Implications for the First Amendment.
A classic. Okay, I'm ready. Lay it on me.
All right, so picture this. You're a pro-life group, right?
Okay.
And you want to put up billboards criticizing a politician's stance on abortion.
Bold move.
But before you even get them printed, the politician threatens legal action.
Oh, that's a problem.
And then the billboard company backs out. So can you fight back at that point,
Right.
or do you have to wait until you're actually punished?
Ah, the age-old question.
That's the core of this case, and it gets fascinating.
Well, I'm all ears. Tell me more.
So the Susan B. Anthony List, FBA for short,
Got it.
they're a pro-life organization.
Right.
And they wanted to criticize then-Congressman Steve Dryhouse for his vote on the Affordable Care Act.
The ACA.
Yep. They planned these billboards alleging the ACA funded abortion.
That's a pretty direct accusation.
It is. And then, of course, Congressman Dryhouse pushes back,
I bet he did.
claiming those billboards would violate Ohio's false statement laws.
Things are heating up already.
They are. What happened next is Dryhouse filed a complaint with the Ohio Elections Commission.
Oh, wow, so he wasn't messing around.
Not at all. And because of that, a billboard company got scared. They feared legal trouble and refused to display SBA's message.
Classic chilling effect. You don't even need the law to be enforced to feel the pressure.
Exactly. The billboards never even went up.
But the damage was done.
It feels like Dryhouse effectively silenced them without any trial, any real proof that SBA was lying.
Right.
So how did this case even reach the Supreme Court?
That's a great question, because initially, the lower courts actually sided with Dryhouse. Yeah, they dismissed SBA's case, saying no actual harm had occurred.
Makes sense on the surface, I guess.
Right. It's this whole concept of ripeness in legal cases,
Meaning?
meaning the courts felt it wasn't the right time for SBA to bring a lawsuit,
No billboards, no harm.
seemingly. But of course, this is the Supreme Court we're talking about.
They must have seen something deeper.
They did. They agreed to hear the case because it brought up this really crucial question. Did the SBA have standing to sue, even though they hadn't been directly penalized yet?
Standing. That's like your ticket to get into the courtroom, right?
Exactly. You needed to even have your case heard.
So how did they determine if SBA had that ticket in this case?
Well, they used this three-pronged test from a previous case, Babbitt v. Farm Workers.
Okay.
It basically says to have standing first, you need to show an intent to engage in conduct that the Constitution protects.
All right, I'm following.
Second, there has to be a law that, seemingly prohibits your intended conduct.
Okay, so far so good.
And third, there needs to be a credible threat of that law actually being enforced against you. Not just like hypothetical worry, but a real possibility based on the situation.
Interesting. So three prongs: intent, a seemingly prohibitive law, and a credible threat. How did the Supreme Court apply this to the SBA case?
Well, they found that all three parts of the test were met.
They did.
Yeah.
Starting with first, SBA's intent to engage in political speech was clear, right?
Right, that's core First Amendment stuff.
Exactly. Second, Ohio's false statement law, it was broad enough to cover their intended message on those billboards.
Okay, so two down.
And then third, the court saw a credible threat of enforcement for sure.
Because Dryhouse filed that complaint and the billboard company backed out?
Yeah, but the court went even further. They highlighted that any Ohio citizen could file a complaint against SBA under this law,
Wow.
making the threat of enforcement an ongoing issue, not just a one-time thing.
That's a chilling thought, knowing anyone could trigger an investigation into your speech. It definitely has a chilling effect, especially for groups trying to participate in, political debate.
So, big question. What was the Supreme Court's final verdict? Did they side with SBA?
They did, and here's where it gets really impactful. The Supreme Court ruled unanimously in favor of SBA.
Whoa, unanimous. That's a powerful statement from that court.
It is.
So what did the decision actually mean? Did they say SBA could put up the billboards?
Well, they didn't rule on the content of the billboards themselves. Their focus was on SBA's right to challenge the law before facing any prosecution.
I see. So the right to fight back early.
Exactly. And this is where Justice Thomas, who wrote the opinion, made a crucial point. He said simply being dragged through costly legal proceedings, even if you're eventually found not guilty, is a form of injury that justifies a legal challenge.
Interesting. So the process itself can be the punishment.
Precisely, regardless of the final outcome. And that's a significant shift in how we think about these pre-enforcement challenges. It underscores this idea. Free speech chills shouldn't be tolerated even if they don't lead to a guilty verdict. And this case really changed things legally. Susan B. Anthony, List v. Dryhouse shifted the whole playing field for pre-enforcement challenges. You know, those cases where you're going after a law that could restrict free speech before it's even used against you.
So before Dryhouse, what was the standard for bringing a challenge like that? Like, what did you have to prove?
Well, before this case, you needed what they called a certainly impending threat.
Meaning?
Meaning you had to prove the law was about to be used against you, like, imminently. But Susan B. Anthony, List v. Dryhouse changed all that.
It lowered the bar, didn't it? Made it easier to challenge these laws.
Exactly. Now, proving a substantial risk of harm is enough, especially when you're talking about core political speech. Like, in this case, you don't have to wait for the hammer to fall to fight back.
So what does this mean for, like, everyday people? Or organizations like SBA? Does this give them more power to push back against laws they think are unjust, even if they haven't been directly penalized yet?
Absolutely. It empowers individuals and groups to challenge laws that could, you know, chill their expression before they even face consequences. They can be proactive about protecting their First Amendment rights.
That's pretty huge, isn't it? That shift in the legal landscape.
It is. And it sends a message to legislatures too, right? At both the state and federal level, be careful with overly broad laws that could deter free speech. Those laws are now much more likely to face scrutiny and potentially get struck down.
So this case, it's like a blueprint for pre-enforcement challenges across the country.
You got it. And it's not just theoretical either. Since Dryhouse, there have been so many successful challenges where individuals and groups have used this precedent to go after laws they see as infringing on their First Amendment rights.
This is where I think it gets really practical for our listeners. What if you're in a situation where a law seems like it could restrict your speech, even though you haven't actually been targeted yet? Could this case be helpful? It could be your ally, so to speak?
Definitely. But there are some key takeaways from Dryhouse that can really strengthen your case if you're considering a pre-enforcement challenge.
Okay, give us the goods. What kind of takeaways are we talking about?
First off, documentation is key, especially if you have evidence of past enforcement actions related to the law you're challenging.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Showing a pattern of enforcement that can help you establish a credible threat. It's not enough to just say, hey, this law makes me nervous.
You need to show why you have reason to be nervous.
Right. And part of that is demonstrating the broad reach of the law, how it could be applied to a wide range of speech. That's really important when you're arguing credible threat. The broader a law can be interpreted, the greater the potential for it to chill protected speech.
So you're saying paint the picture of how this law, even though it might not be used against you specifically right now, could have a wide impact on free speech overall.
Exactly. You want to connect the dots for the court, show them the bigger picture.
So we've covered a lot of ground here. The background of the case, the Supreme Court's decision, those practical implications for bringing a pre-enforcement challenge. But before we wrap up, I have a question for you and really for our listeners too.
Hit me with it.
This case was all about political speech, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously crucial to the First Amendment. But how do you think this precedent could apply to other types of speech? Could it be used to protect, say, artistic expression or scientific debate? What are the broader implications of Susan B. Anthony, List v. Dryhouse beyond just politics?
That's an excellent question, and it's one that legal scholars are still debating, to be honest. I mean, the core principle of Dryhouse, that being forced through legal proceedings, even without a guilty verdict, can be an injury in itself, that principle could potentially apply to way more than just political speech.
It seems like this case could have some pretty far-reaching consequences.
It really could, and it shows how free speech law is constantly evolving, right? It's being shaped by new cases and interpretations, and those decisions can have ripple effects. Susan B. Anthony, List v. Dryhouse is a perfect example of that.
It really makes you think.
It does.
This case was a victory for free speech advocates, for sure. But it also raises important questions about, you know, its potential for misuse. It's a reminder that legal precedents, even those with good intentions, can sometimes have unintended consequences.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that the law is a living, breathing thing, and it's shaped by every new case and interpretation. And those decisions can affect people far beyond the parties directly involved in the case. Susan B. Anthony, List v. Dryhouse is, like you said, a prime example of that.
Well, it's been a real pleasure diving deep into this case with you today. Your analysis has been incredibly insightful.
The pleasure was all mine. As always, I love these thought-provoking conversations.
And to our listeners, keep those legal minds sharp. We'll catch you on our next deep dive. So we've talked a lot about how Susan B. Anthony, List v. Dryhouse really empowers people to challenge laws, even before those laws are enforced. You know, laws that could infringe on free speech. It's a huge case, big implications for political speech, for sure. But does this ruling have any relevance for our listeners who might not be, you know, super involved in politics?
That's a great question, actually. While the Dry House case itself was all about political speech, yeah, its core principles definitely have broader implications. Remember, the Supreme Court really emphasized that just being forced to go through legal proceedings, even if you're not found guilty, can be a kind of injury in itself. Like, it chills free speech.
So even the threat of legal action can silence people.
Exactly. And that principle can apply to all sorts of situations beyond just politics. Think about it. Let's say you're an artist, right? And you're planning this controversial exhibition.
Okay, I'm with you.
And there's this local ordinance that, like, vaguely prohibits offensive art. Just the possibility of facing legal action could make you self-censor, even if the law is later found to be unconstitutional.
Makes sense. You'd think twice before putting yourself through that.
Absolutely. Or how about scientific research? A researcher exploring a controversial topic, maybe something that challenges existing regulations, even the threat of legal challenges or just bureaucratic hurdles could totally discourage them from pursuing their work.
Even if they're not technically violating anything.
Right, and that's where Dry House comes in. It could offer some protection.
How so?
Well, it lowers the bar for these pre-enforcement challenges. Dry House encourages people to take legal action early to try and clarify vague laws or laws that might be overreaching. It gives individuals and organizations the power to protect their First Amendment rights without having to wait for, like, the worst-case scenario to happen.
I see. So don't wait for the hammer to fall.
Exactly.
Well, this has been a really enlightening discussion. It seems like Susan B. Anthony Liste Dry House is a case with, like, really far-reaching consequences. It kind of highlights that constant tension between protecting free speech and also preventing people from, you know, abusing it.
It totally does. This case reminds us that the fight for free speech is never really over. We have to be vigilant and proactive in engaging with the legal system to safeguard this right in all its forms.
Well said. It's been a pleasure exploring this case with you. Your insights have been, as always, incredibly valuable.
The pleasure was all mine. I always enjoy these conversations.
And to our listeners, keep those legal minds sharp. We'll see you on our next deep dive.